Well, good morning, all of you. It's good to be here. Today, I'll be talking about the message from Psalm 91. And Psalm 91 is about the assurance of God's protection and God's delivering. And the first verses I'll read from Psalm 91 is 1 through 2 and 9 through 16. 91, 1 through 2 tells us, "You who live in the shelter of the Most High, who abide in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." 91, 9 through 16. "Because you have made the Lord your refuge, the Most High your dwelling place, no evil shall befall you, no scourge come near your tent. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against the stone. You will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Those who love me I will deliver. I will protect those who know my name. For when they call to me, I will answer them. I will be with them in trouble. I will rescue them and honor them. I will with long life, I will satisfy them and show them my salvation." Let us pray. With all our hearts, we take refuge in God Most High, who created all things, the merciful Father, the source of all goodness. With all our heart, we take refuge in Christ, the Redeemer from sin, who restores our true nature, the perfect and the mysterious Word. With all our heart, we take refuge in the one who embraces the universe, who at all times and in all places responds to our needs, the pure and tranquil Holy Spirit. In your holy name we pray. Amen. I'd like to tell you kind of a humorous story, but it's about a young student who was in need this given day, what I'm about to tell you, of assurance and protection. It starts out, "Our teacher asked what my favorite animal was, and I said fried chicken. She said I wasn't funny, but she couldn't have been right because everyone else in class laughed. My parents always told me to tell the truth, and I did. Fried chicken is my favorite animal. I told my dad what happened. He said to my teacher that my teacher was probably a member of PETA. He said they love animals very much. I do too, especially chicken, pork, and beef. Anyway, my teacher sent me to the principal's office." I've heard about that office. "I told him what happened and he laughed too, then told me not to do it again. The next day in my class, my teacher asked me what my favorite live animal was. I told her it was chicken. She asked me why, and I told her it was because you can make them into fried chicken. She sent me back to the principal's office, and he laughed, and he told me not to do it again. I don't understand. My parents taught me to be honest, but my teacher doesn't like it when I am. Today, my teacher asked me to tell what famous person I admired most. I told her, Colonel Sanders. Guess what? Guess where I'm at now?" The scriptures from Psalm 91 tells us of God's assurance and God's security, God's protection that is offered to those who will take shelter in God. And that's very important for us to take shelter in our Lord. We might ask ourselves, how would you rate God's delivery service? There was once a company that's now not in business anymore, and it was called GOD, G period O period D period, an acronym for Guaranteed Overnight Delivery. This resonates with how many Christians want God to serve them. Overnight, or better yet, want God to serve them now, immediately. But does God deliver in this sense? In today's Psalm reading, God says in verse 14, "Those who love me, I will deliver." How great a satisfaction and relief it is in the time of affliction to have the company of the faithful people in our lives, an affectionate friend who takes part in our sorrow, who tenderly hears all our complaints, who kindly watches over our weaknesses. Yes, the Lord will be with you. And we ask, what or who is God going to deliver? So where does God live? Would you believe if we said it was Kearney, New Jersey? That's what you might think if you drove by a certain trucking terminal in that city until 2004, when the company ceased operations. On the side of its building was a huge sign, and it said, "Welcome home to God." There again with the periods in there. And it was a playful acronym by that company. The company had painted it on the side of their trucks in huge letters and also displayed it on the mud flaps of the trucks. And for years, those tractor-trailer trucks caused drivers throughout the Northeast, even beyond, caused the drivers to take a double take. I know I would if I saw that. I'm wondering what's going on there. But does God deliver? Some motorists asked themselves in astonishment as a God truck rolled by them. Does God, that we so know as our Lord and Savior, does God deliver? Ask the question of the writer of Psalms 91, and the answer you'll get back is, well, yes, but not anything you can load on a shipping pallet. Remember the words of Psalm 14 that I read? Those who love me, I will deliver, says the Lord. Those who love me. We can get caught up in chasing fulfillment. Chasing fulfillment can have a negative impact on our friendships and on our families and businesses when we allow such to get out of control in our lives. Fulfillment is a big deal in the world of business, particularly online retail today. Fulfillment is another word for delivery. It matters little if the online ordering experience is smooth and seamless. Retail companies, especially online retailers, put enormous amounts of time and energy into perfecting the fulfillment side of their operations. The ease of processing delivering in a timely manner for customer satisfaction, if things go as planned, is very satisfactory to us. How many have ordered things from Amazon or other online providers? Is there a raise of hands? I know I have. Sometimes a good experience, sometimes maybe not. We hear about Amazon all the time and their massive warehouses, and those warehouses are models of high-tech efficiency, using humans and robots as their workers. And the robots, if you ever been out to the dairy DFA plant out here east of Garden City, they have robots such, and they resemble beetles, and they scurry all around the place, and they take loads to vertical shelves and merchandise is weighing up to 3,000 pounds. Hundreds of them are moving autonomously at Amazon in a large cage area, tailgating each other, but because of computerization technology, they do not run into each other. On one edge of the cage, human workers, and they're called stowers, stuff products onto the shelves, replenishing their inventory. The robots will whisk about those shelves, taking stuff away and getting them ready to be shipped out on trucks, and you'll receive such via UPS, FedEx, or the post office. But these human pickers in these warehouses, they follow instructions on computer screens, grabbing items off the shelves and putting them into plastic bins, which then disappear on conveyor belts destined for packers' people. But the products in cardboard boxes are bound for the customers, and as I talk, they hit the delivery services from Amazon. Amazon's also exploring into drone delivery. We don't have it yet here in Garden City, but in the bigger cities like LA, they're experimenting it, where that drone will go to your front door and leave you a package under a given certain weight. The whole concept is with this online retail is the customers must be satisfied or the company will not remain in business for long. Carrying cardboard boxes in the front to the front porches may produce a tiniest tingle of excitement when you open that door, but that excitement is absolutely nothing compared to the goal of spiritual fulfillment we all seek in life, and there's only one delivery that can fulfill that, and that is God. Only God can deliver what we need. When the psalmist speaks of the Lord, He says, those who love me, I will deliver. And it becomes clear what he means to say that God is in the delivery business. What God delivers, or who God delivers, is not merchandise. It is people. It is us. Psalm 91:11 tells us, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. And remember Psalm 91:12, on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. The psalmist's focus here is not delivery, but delivery from suffering. Sounds pretty clear, doesn't it? Believe in God and God will keep you safe. Such a promise has a huge appeal. Interesting, though, this psalm is the basis for one of the temptations of Jesus. Its words are quoted by none other than Satan, according to the Gospel of Luke chapter 4. And remember how that story goes? The devil takes Jesus up to the pinnacle of the temple and has him stand there looking down on the tiny people strolling far below. Then Satan taunts him. Satan taunts Jesus. Luke 4, verses 9 through 11. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to protect you, and on their hands they will bear you up, so that you will not dash your foot against a stone. Think about this one. They say even the devil can quote scriptures when it serves his purpose. And we come across sometimes with people in our lives who like to use verses and quote verses to serve their purpose, not God's purpose. We have to be watchful of that. Jesus answers to this third and final temptation. His answer is very resolute. It is said, do not put the Lord your God to test. Jesus rejects Satan's offer of protection. Our Lord wants none of that. Jesus could have lived his life perfectly safe and protected, but he cast all that aside. Our Savior chose instead to the slow and painful walk of shame up Calvary's hill. No doubt, he believes God's promises recorded in our Psalms reading for today. Those who love me, I will deliver. God did not spare Christ from suffering. But God did bring him through the suffering and out the other side to resurrection. Out of the depths I cried to you, O Lord, writes the author of Psalm 130. It is a plaintive cry for deliverance. And it states, my soul waits for the Lord more than those who watch for the morning. More than those who watch for the morning. Very assuring there. Wendell Berry wrote a novel called Jaber Crow, and it contains a short parable about a hunter who gets himself into a very tight spot, and on a perfect fall day, he steps on the rotted wood covering an abandoned well. He plunges into the watery depths below, comes up for air, and grabs a hold of the cool, mossy stones that line the side of the well. Looking up, he can see a tiny circle of light as he looks up from that well, and it's impossibly far away. There are no discernible handholds on the sides of the well. There's no point in calling out because no one is nearby. No one can hear him. Berry continues in his writings. How does his story end? Does he save himself? Is he athletic enough maybe to get his boots off and climb out, clawing with fingers and toes into the grudging holes between the rocks and the wall? Does he climb up and does he fall back? Does somebody, in fact, for wonder, chance to pass nearby and hear him? Does he despair, give up, and drown? Does he despairingly pray and finally the first true prayer of his life? There is a light that includes our darkness, a day that shines down even on the clouds. A man of faith believes that the man in the well is not lost. He does not believe that this is easily without pain, but he believes it. His belief is of a kind of knowledge beyond any way of knowing. He believes that the child in the womb is not lost, nor is the man whose work has come to nothing, nor is the old woman forsaken in the nursing home. He believes that those who make their bed in hell are not lost, or those who dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, or the lame man at Bethesda pool, or Lazarus at the grave, or those who pray, Lord, have mercy. That parable is truer to the meaning of Psalm 91 than a shallow, sentimental picture of a God who never delivers anything bad to us. Is this psalm about escaping the everyday hurts or the pain of life? Or is it, in fact, something deeper, something more wonderful in our lives, a celebration of powerful truth that as long as we are enfolded in the love of God, we can never truly be lost? Assurance and protection through God. None of us have to think very deeply to recall the stories people have known who have been overwhelmed by a dark storm, and we consider it a surge of undeserved suffering. Some people have died because of their times. Others have breathed their last breath in crumpled wrecks of vehicles before first responders could get to them. Still others have watched their dreams of happiness slip away amid business failures or divorces. You can't say of people like these, no evil shall befall you, no scourge shall come near your tent. No guardian angel showed up in a nick of time so they would not so much as dash their feet against the stone. Was this because God had it in for them somehow? Because they had done something terrible and deserved punishment? Or maybe they just didn't love God enough? The Lord in today's psalm does say, those who love me, I will deliver. There's always, the ways of the Almighty are very mysterious to us at times. Yes, there is suffering in a world that people bring upon themselves. But there's also a type of suffering that absolutely has no explanation in our lives. It's random, at least as far as we can see. Sadly, it just is. So, is all this talk about Psalm 91 about God's deliverance just a passel of empty words? A pleasant fantasy to distract the attention of the naive and the simple-minded from the cold, cruel ways of the world? Absolutely not. It is not. Sometime God intervenes in troubled times, changing our circumstances in very unexpected ways. When this happens, we call it a miracle. Other times, God may leave our outward circumstances unchanged, but instead, God changes our inner lives, helping us discover reservoirs of faith that we never knew we had. When this happens, it is likewise sort of, it is, it's a kind of a miracle because we're changing within ourselves. It is a miracle. For who would have thought of at the beginning of such a season of suffering that we would have what it takes to get through it? And through God we do. As we journey with God through the bleak, unchartable landscape of pain, physical or emotional, we frequently find the only way to do it is one step at a time. And we find that as we place one foot in front of the other, God guides our steps. Together, our Lord and us, together, we can get through all trials, all tribulations. And very often, we do emerge stronger people than we began in our woeful journey. Perhaps the greatest sense in which this psalm is true is a larger spiritual sense. It has to do with the question of where we ultimately end up. Do we ultimately end up on the other side of death through Christ's resurrection? Christians believe life does not end with death. It continues by the grace of God and beyond it. God's deliverance and protection are not limited to the number of times our heart beats, nor the number of breaths that we take into our lungs over the course of a lifetime. The resounding promise of faith is that if we trust the risen Lord Jesus Christ, there is a wonderful and unimaginable life beyond this one, life hidden with Christ and God. Let us pray. Let us go now and live in the spirit of your baptism. Even when you are led into the wild and hard places, with repentance and trust, give yourselves to God, and with fasting and prayer, strengthen yourselves in the ways of the tempter. Strengthen yourselves against the tempter. And may God enfold you in tender and lasting love, and may Christ be beside you in all times of struggle. And may the Spirit guide you back to the path whenever you stray, that you may keep the covenant. We go from here. We go in peace to love and to serve the Lord. Amen.